This is Justin with a quick note before today's episode. Beyond the Uniform is committed to helping military veterans succeed in their civilian career. In order to further our mission, we're launching a 2018 pledge drive. But rather than asking for donations, we're asking for reviews. If you have benefited from this show, please pay it forward by leaving us a positive review on Apple Podcast. There's a link in every episode's show notes, or just Google Apple Podcasts Beyond the Uniform, and it's the number one link. Our goal between now and December 31st is to get to 150 reviews. As a way of saying thank you, we're going to pick our favorite review and send you a free copy of every Beyond the Uniform publication. That's Veterans and Consulting and Veterans at Goldman Sachs, two softcover books, as well as printouts of our five ebooks. More importantly, your review will help us get this show in front of more members of the armed forces and military veterans. Thanks and enjoy today's episode. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to help military veterans navigate their civilian career. Today is episode number 213 with Lauren Burnell.
So I do think that veterans do have the tendency to just, you know, if I don't go into a direct translator and my MOS or my, you know, designator relates to this field, I think that I couldn't pursue it. And in a space like this, where there's so much opportunity, and what we're screaming for are mission-minded, team-oriented folks who have a hunger and an ability to learn, and who are willing to put in the work to get there, then, you know, sky's the limit.
Well, over 2 months ago, Commander Christopher Passani reached out and asked about having interviews in cybersecurity. It took a long time, but this is the first in a series of interviews about cybersecurity. And I have to admit that when Chris asked about this, I wasn't that enthusiastic. I just thought it wasn't that interesting of a space. And today's guest, Lauren, completely changed my opinion on that. We cover a lot of ground today, but Lauren is the first person I've interviewed in the cybersecurity and information security space. As you'll learn, this is an exploding space that seems to be poised to continue to grow for a very long time. Lauren makes the case about how veterans, regardless of your background in the military, are well suited to this expanding field, which is very mission and team centric. There are going to be 3.5 million unfulfilled security jobs by 2020. This is a big opening and an opportunity for veterans. In this interview, we talk about how cybersecurity may meet a veteran's need for purpose and for a team-centric environment. As always, at beyonduniform.io, you'll find show notes with links to everything we discuss. And with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Lauren. Well, joining me today in Corpus Christi, Texas, is Lauren Burnell. Lauren, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thanks so much, Justin. I'm really excited to be here.
So for listeners, well, first of all, I wanted to thank Rick Healy for making the introduction. I know a lot of listeners had asked for interviews in the space of security and network security, and we'll get into that. But thanks to Rick for making this connection. In terms of Lauren's background, she heads up federal programs and cloud alliances at FireEye, a company that protects customers from the impact and consequences of cyber attacks. She started out at the Naval Academy, after which she earned her master's degree in political science and government at the University of College Park, Maryland. She served as an officer in the Navy 5 years before joining PCMG as a security systems architect. And just for listeners who are getting acquainted for LinkedIn, LinkedIn classifies FireEye as in the computer and network security industry, and they're in a 1,000 to 5,000 employee range, just to give you a sense of industry and scale. So maybe to start things off, Lauren, if you were talking to someone who was on active duty, how would you explain what FireEye does?
Yeah, so I would say that we hunt evil in cyberspace. So we're, as you mentioned, we're an industry-leading cybersecurity firm. We kind of have three different core offerings that we really focus on. So one is around cyber threat intelligence. So people, you know, serving in active duty, whether you're dealing in a world of cryptology and that type of intelligence, or just, you know, have anything to do with intel, which I think that most operators, even if you're not in intelligence, you benefit from, and you are tied to intel in some way. So we basically have government grade intel from an unclassified, really non-classified perspective as industry that we do and provide to clients. We also have Mandiant, which is a name that folks in the IT realm or interested in the IT realm may have heard of or come across. They're really our first line incident response defenders. So they've been, behind the response of some of the most major breaches that have received, lots of news and press. And then we have our technology arm. So really cutting edge technology that takes all the goodness of what the Mandiant incident responders are seeing and what the Intel folks are putting together and feeding it into technology to really, defend the mission and empower the warfighter. So we've recently, actually just in the last couple of weeks, been in a lot of the news around the Facebook and the different social media things that were happening with a suspected influence operation. So that was FireEye behind identifying that and tipping off the organizations. So, there's some articles if you're interested in kind of learning more. I read one that describes us recently as the Navy SEALs of cybersecurity, which, I certainly feel that way about the teammates that I get to work with now here at FireEye. So, again, I'd say at the end of the day, we're empowering the warfighter and securing the mission.
That's great. And I'll get those articles from you. And for listeners, I'll add them in the show notes for this episode. If you want to learn more about the work that they're doing in those articles, those will be in the show notes. What sort of companies do you work with?
Yeah, so I'm on the federal team, as was mentioned in my title. So my clients are the federal civilian agencies, as well as the Department of Defense and the intel side. So honestly, a lot of similarities from, what I was working with and who I was working with on active duty. We obviously have a commercial corporate arm as well, with clients ranging across every single what we call vertical, right? So your healthcare and financial, et cetera. And then, within the public sector arm, we also have people who are dedicated to the state and local governments, as well as higher education. So that's kind of from a client perspective. And then we work with a lot of organizations, from a partnering perspective. So whether that's different technologies that, make sense to kind of come to the table together, or different security providers that are using our technology. So again, in my title was that cloud alliances piece. So I'm working very closely and looking to build strong relationships with the cloud service providers. So think your Amazon Web Services, Microsoft, Oracle, et cetera, that are, really being in the cloud space. And certainly there are more than just those that I rattled off there. But so definitely working with a lot of different tech companies and to secure a wide range of clients.
And I know a lot of listeners love getting the nitty gritty of what your day looks like. And, whether that's today or yesterday or just a recent day, could you walk us through just kind of time stamping along the way of what time you get into the office and what sorts of things that you're doing throughout the day?
Yeah, so I generally actually work from home. My husband is still in the Navy. And so we're stationed down here, which is why we're in South Texas. So I was in D.C. last week, and I would say, that it certainly varies, obviously. And so the timestamps and what I would say in general is it's not quite the same standardly, 9-to-5 type thing that you might be used to. Certainly there's business meetings and things that take place during those hours. But I think across the board, what I've experienced in the last 2.5 years, both at FireEye and during my security role at PCMG and my management engineering role there, is that, things are a little more flexible in that, you're going to get the work done. And so, the time into the office is potentially a little more variable. I was certainly doing some different team meetings. Last week, I made a training presentation to the sales team around some of the things that I've been working on. I had a couple of meetings with some of those partners, that I'm trying to, continue to grow relationships with, et cetera. but again, it can vary so greatly also depending on what type of role you're in cybersecurity. So I'm in a little bit more of what I would call now a business development and strategy role. When I was a security solutions architect at CCMG, my day was much more kind of in tandem with the sales rep, either out in front of customers, having conversations with them, doing presentations and overviews or full-on demos of technology solutions to show them how it can, you know, work in their operations. And then also kind of doing the back architecture and sizing and scoping of these things to really build out what those specs would look like based on a requirement that we get from the customer. So, and all of those are very different from if you're, you know, actually being a cybersecurity analyst, you know, on a SOC, you know, in the security operations center. So there's a lot of different ways that this can look.
How did you end up in this? Could you take us through maybe the months leading up to your transition out of the Navy, and then what happened that led you to your first job out of the military?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I separated from the Navy in March of 2016 and immediately stepped into my role as a security engineer at CCMG, which again was my first role that, you know, then led me to where I'm at today at FireEye. I actually was a recipient and went through the first cohort of TechQual, which I understand that Nick Breedlove, who's the co-founder and CEO of TechQual, actually sat down with you, Justin, and there's a separate episode on that. So I don't need to go crazy in the weeds on how great TechQual is. But basically, in case you don't catch that one, it's a program that's designed to help transitioning veterans break into high-tech sales. It's actually geared more towards folks that are interested in landing in what we call an account manager or a field account manager position. I ended up going a little bit more of an engineering technical route, but still in sales. But again, phenomenal program. And so they provided both the kind of some fundamentals in IT training and then really a deep dive into sales training, which is something that veterans, I think, have a natural tendency to be quite good at, but without being kind of empowered with those skills and the confidence, you may not know how to translate, you know, your work into those types of sales and prospecting and kind of value-driven conversations.
That's great. It's I'm wondering, you know, you, it sounds like you, while in the Navy, you did a lot of work similar to what you do in the civilian sector. What was it that put this on your radar or helped you narrow in that you wanted to go into? I would wonder if you consider the work you do like kind of cybersecurity or network security or kind of, I guess to simplify, how would you define the industry you're in and what was it that made that industry appealing to you?
Yeah, I would say that I'm in the cybersecurity industry. Certainly, there's different terminology that's thrown around, and we have some of these catch-all terms like cyber, and so people can get into arguments about what's the right terminology for, you know, different subsets. But, you know, the information security, cybersecurity space, which to me can touch everything, right? So obviously now dealing with cloud security, that's not necessarily a separate thing. That's just a substantiation of, you know, it's how we're extending the way that we're doing business and doing our networking, right? So started as kind of physical stuff, then we went virtualized, and now we're doing things in the cloud. I was in a bit of a security role, but I was a, you know, junior officer, and I think as a JO, while I had exposure to a lot of amazing things, I wasn't necessarily hands-on keyboard the way that I've gotten to be in my last 2+ years on the industry side. And I also wasn't necessarily super spun up on specific industry tools. So I had a couple of, you know, catch-all certifications. Those that are in IT in the military probably have some of these. And I think we can get into those as we talk about ways to set yourself up for success in this transition. But I've always, since I got kind of connected to this in the military, I've loved this field because it really is all about the mission, right? And you're truly getting to defend against serious adversarial threats, and you're able to do that from private sector as well. So, you know, it sometimes sounds cheesy, but I never thought when I got out of the military that I would feel this connected to mission still on this side, and every day I do. So that's a really kind of powerful thing that makes me excited to work every day. And I think you get that mission aspect as well as amazing teamwork, because you cannot do this on your own in any way, shape, or form, that are things we really value and love on active duty that you get to have in the cybersecurity field.
I love that. I mean, I think one of the things that's jumping out to me, and the first one didn't really occur to me until we started our conversation, is this space of cybersecurity and information security, from very much an outsider's perspective, it seems like one that is just exploding, and I can't imagine any scenario where it will not continue to grow. Like, this is a new aspect of who we are as people, and the types of companies that are growing. They need this sort of protection. So one thing that stands out immediately is, what a great space to start building up knowledge. What a great space to enter into, because it's just going to get bigger and bigger from here. But the second thing that, again, I don't think I really understood prior to sitting down with you is how well-suited veterans are for this. And I love that you're teasing out how it is mission-centric and team-centric, and I think both of those would be appealing to many listeners. But it's great to hear that it wasn't like you were a crypto in the Navy for years and years and years, and that's the only path into this, that many listeners, regardless of their background, have some exposure to this, and this is a way to get more tactical and get more hands-on.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, and I'll just actually throw a stat out at you. And this came, so obviously there's a lot of different reports around this, but this came from a report that was sponsored by the Herjavec Group, and it was around the security shortage that's happening of skilled cybersecurity workers, and it states that there's going to be 3.5 million unfilled security jobs by 2021. So we know that there's a shortage today, and as it continues on, again, just a massive, massive amount of opportunity, really. As you said, this is not going away. Think about what you use in your own home, right? How you've become so reliant on your phones, and now we have so many smart interconnected devices that are making life easier. Businesses and government are wanting to do that too. So things like smart cities and the way, you know, but then what are we doing with security? How are we ensuring that these things are secure? And even into the realm of ICS, the industrial control systems, right, to these smart Internet of Things devices. So the attack landscape and the kind of attack surface has gotten so much larger, and it's not going to stop. So for sure, it's definitely, you know, and again, I agree with you. I did have a bit of a tech background in the military, but I do not think you have to. I think that what you have to have is a hunger for learning, because this space is constantly changing. So, you know, you just need to be able to solve problems and have an innovative mind, which I think are things that, you know, are natural for veterans, because you've had to change roles every 2 to 3 years. And I think that even folks who feel like, well, I wasn't in a technical field, well, you were probably connected to or dealing with some sort of weapon system or something that's technical in nature, even if it wasn't information technology. So I would just say, you know, the way that your kind of your brain adapts to learn these new things and to apply them to the mission, it's that same process. So then it's just learning something new, but it's probably something you've done before.
That's great. I literally was just having lunch before this with a guest I'm going to have on the show in a little bit, Chris Diaz, and we were talking about how often veterans disqualify themselves prematurely from a career path. And I love that you're saying that, of that, you know, many listeners might say, hey, I don't view myself as technical, and maybe challenging any assumption like that and digging into your past and realizing that, like you had said, the weapon systems you interact with or the technical systems you interact with, and even if that might not have been in your title, even if that might have not been the brunt of your work, I would wager that you have that listeners have more exposure to technology than many people outside of the military. And so to not disqualify yourself because you think, oh, I wasn't in something cyber related, or I wasn't in a heavily tech space in the military, and therefore I can't do this.
Yeah, I think that's 100% correct. I think we struggle when we get out of the military, first of all, with kind of figuring out what we want to be when we grow up. Right. A lot of this has been decided for us up till that point. So it's a big decision to also, you don't need to feel like you're locked into something necessarily. You know, you can take some time to find the right home. But, you know, not only figuring that out, but what the path looks like to get there. So I do think that veterans do have the tendency to just, you know, if I don't go into a direct translator and my MOS or my, you know, designator relates to this field, I think that I couldn't pursue it. And in a space like this, where there's so much opportunity and what we're screaming for are mission-minded, team-oriented folks who have a hunger and an ability to learn, and who are willing to put in the work to get there, then, you know, sky's the limit.
That's great. And I know we already touched on this already, but I'm curious if there's anything else that stands out about why a listener to this show might be interested in the cybersecurity space.
Yeah. So again, I think it's, as you said, it's a career that's not going away. More importantly, I think that when we get out of the military, we hopefully found it on active duty, but you want to find it in private sector as well, is true job fulfillment and satisfaction, something that's beyond just kind of the punch in, punch out. What I would say is I feel it especially in my space because I'm supporting I'm working with the Department of Defense and different services, and, you know, that thing you loved about the reason you probably joined in the first place, you can absolutely still feel that in private sector. But even when if you're not supporting the federal side of house in cybersecurity and you're on an IT team with an organization, the nature of the business is good fighting bad. And I think that it just brings you such a sense of, you know, purpose in what you're doing every day. And, you know, again, the bonds with your teammates that you're, you know, working with. So again, I think it's something that could be really desirable to a lot of veterans.
That's great. And I was wondering about, this is a, you know, it's a world I don't really know that well. Is there specific types of roles that, actually, let me back up first. So we've talked about your work at FireEye, and I'm wondering if someone listening is interested in this space, in addition to FireEye, what's a way to get to know the landscape, or are there big key players out there that they should look at, or is there some place that they can look to learn about who some of the better companies are within this space that they might want to apply to?
Yeah, so there's certainly, and specifically in this world of tech sales, there's, you know, all of these different manufacturers, which are the people that actually create the, you know, the intellectual property and the technology. So folks like FireEye or Cisco and a whole slew of others, you know, Dell EMC, HPE, et cetera. And so certainly I think just some basic Googling will bring up, you know, the major tech vendors. There's a number of different lists. And again, in the aftermath of this, I can get you some, you know, that kind of list off the top XYZ of each year. And then there's a lot of companies, though, what I would say is to open your minds to companies you might not have heard of, but that are doing really interesting things. So, you know, TechQual helped me get my role at PCMG, which is an IT solutions and services provider. So basically helps to resell some of these different things. So partners with everyone in industry and is able to kind of pull together different manufacturer stuff to architect something that's more of an integrated solution and provide that to the client. So there's kind of so many different organizations, plus there's the actual companies themselves that are having security teams and, you know, IT resources to support their mission. So, and then the other thing I would throw out actually, Justin, is this is kind of everything I've mentioned so far is a little more, I guess, on the super security side, but there's a lot of things that are more tangentially tied to this. But, you know, organizations like mine, we have, again, intel analysts, and we have proposal writers, and we have people that are supporting sales operations, and we have all sorts of different functions that are not necessarily quote unquote technical, but you're living and breathing in the security space every day.
That's one of the things I was going to ask about next, actually, is just kind of like, what are some of those titles or roles that someone should think about that a veteran might be suited for? And you just named off a couple of them, and I would love to hear if there's any that are top of mind for you that you think a veteran would say, okay, if you're looking at a company like FireEye, here's a couple roles to consider applying to.
Yeah, so again, what I have been in goes by a number of different names. It can be called sales engineering, or, you know, solution architect, or, you know, systems engineering, or a number of different kind of acronyms and terminology. My counterpart, you know, up until this point, where now, again, I'm more of a business development role. So BD is kind of the corporate acronym for that. But on the other side of the sales side, and again, I do think that there's a number of different things. So you could just find a company even that resonates with you, and then see what's potentially available there. But again, there's so many. I can try to pull up more of a complete list for you to have later as kind of a querying search thing for keywords. But there's a whole lot of different things that folks can do. Certainly analysts. Security, you know, cybersecurity analyst, or on the more intel side, for folks that are looking to be more of a SOC operator.
That's great. And for you, you went directly from the Naval Academy and you got your master's degree at the University of College Park in Maryland. How important is an advanced degree in this space?
I would say not important. And actually, even if you're using me as an example, you know, both of my undergraduate and graduate degrees were in political science, so not a computer science or IT, you know, focused field. I did do a lot of data analytics and kind of statistics and quantitative type stuff during those studies, which I do think has helped translate. But again, I do not think that the higher education degree is a barrier. That said, not to deter folks that are pursuing that, there's some phenomenal computer science, cybersecurity, IT management type of programs out there. And certainly, you know, having that STEM background will only help you. But what I would say is that certifications are more of a focus than a degree, typically. And at the end of the day, experience trumps all.
That's great. And I'm wondering if someone is coming, let's say we've already touched on this, but it's, let's say they're coming from a background that's not strictly cyber security in the military, or maybe not directly technical in the military. Do you have any advice on things that they could do to prepare for a career in cybersecurity? You had mentioned some quantitative classes and things like that. Is there anything like that that you would recommend they do to maybe get a leg up on applying to a job like this?
Yeah, so I'm going to rattle off a couple of different industry certifications. And again, we can provide them to you in written form as well. And actually, a lot of your listeners, again, anyone who's been on the DoD side of doing security will likely have one or more of these already, because they're part of the requirements of the cybersecurity workforce. That said, for someone with no IT background that's interested in getting a great certification on their resume to show that they have some fundamentals under their belt, I would recommend NetPlus, which is a CompTIA certification, which is a good kind of foundational, it's a good entry level. And then that serves as a great way to bounce off into a security certification, which would be Security Plus or SEC Plus. So if you have a little bit of IT fundamentals background, you've heard of some basic networking things, you could maybe just dive straight into Security Plus. What I would say that one gives you is some great foundation around things, some security principles and concepts. So what is information security, what's encryption, what's hashing, et cetera, kind of those basics. The other one I would throw out there is CCNA, which is the Cisco Certified Networking Associate, which is basically still the de facto standard for networking, so not necessarily a security certification. And that's one, if you're looking to go in the more technical route, I do think that, you know, organizations still do look to that as a good kind of standard baseline.
Awesome. And for listeners, I'll have a list of all of these certifications, the roles, all of these things in the show notes for the episode. So no need to write them down if you're driving a ship or a car or anything like that. I always love asking guests on the show about resources, and I'm thinking of anything that someone could get a hold of today. So a book, a podcast, a conference, anything that's helped you in your civilian career that you would recommend to listeners.
Yes, and this is going to be another one that I give to you. And don't worry about writing them down because it's a massive list. And that speaks to what this field is that you're constantly learning. I mean, I have a couple of these websites I'll rattle off as homepage, and I get the daily feeds to my email, and you're just constantly trying to, you know, immerse yourself in what's happening because it moves so quickly. What I would actually start with, though, is saying that there's a program called FedVTE, so Victor Tango Echo, that provides free cybersecurity training to U.S. government employees, Fed contractors, and veterans. And they have, I believe, you know, some different programs and videos and things that are geared towards those certifications that I just rattled off. So that's a really great resource for that specific thing on the certification side. Skillsoft as well is another one that provides some training geared towards certifications that is available actually also to military spouses for major IT certifications, which is pretty cool. But on the resources side, so there's a number of different websites. And again, kind of, you can get into this as deep as you'd want to go, but a couple that I use, I would say almost on a daily basis are ThreatPost, as well as ARS, A-R-S. ARS Technica has a security page. There's also others like Krebs on Security, Dark Reading. There's a website called Bright Talk that has an information technology section with tons and tons of videos and trainings and lectures that are really phenomenal. My company, FireEye, we have a really cool blog where we put out a lot of different things. You know, so example, that disinformation campaign that we, you know, alerted social media sites to. Obviously, there was news reporting from like the New York Times, et cetera. But if you wanted to dive more into it, our blog posted, you know, more of an analysis of what had gone on there. So you can definitely find a lot online, as well as amazing podcasts. So ThreatPost also has a podcast. There's one called The Cyberwire. I've had a number of really great ones forwarded to me from Recorded Future and Security Now. But I actually have a massive list that I've compiled, not just from me, but querying smarter folks than myself for what they listen to as well. And so, you know, we can get that out to your listeners.
This is great. I'm predicting this might be one of the richest show notes on the website. And I think one of the things that stands out to me with that is that you talked about this being a space where the biggest criteria is a hunger for knowledge and learning. And you certainly embody that by staying abreast of all of these trends and having all of these resources, not just on hand, but continuing to refine them and grow them. I think that's a great example of someone who is deepening their knowledge and expertise in a field. I think that's really admirable that you're staying on the cusp of all of this.
Thanks. And the other thing I would mention on that, as I said, I didn't actually come up with all of these on my own. I have a list of about 10 others I didn't mention, which I got from, you know, a security engineer at FireEye who's been a great mentor to me. And that would be something I call out is that, you know, mentorship, we know it's so important on active duty. It helps us, you know, get where we need to go. And it's more important when you cross over into the civilian side to find some mentors who, you know, will be those advocates for you and help you, you know, kind of own your skills and because I think you're right that we do tend to downplay and, you know, whether it's humility or just a, you know, potential lack of confidence in this new space, to really kind of highlight and shine with what we're bringing to the table. And so having those advocates and mentors who can help you also figure out where you want to go, because this is a space that it's not just a very linear progression. Your career can take a lot of different lateral or kind of, you know, all over the place moves. So when you think out about where I want to be in 5-10 years, it doesn't have to be just in the natural progression for what that specific role might look like. And those mentors can really help you figure that out.
That's great. Well, I always like to keep the last question open-ended, and that's that you've provided a lot of value to listeners. We've covered a lot of space about the industry and your role and your work history. I'm just curious, is there anything we haven't covered that you want to make sure that listeners know before we wrap up?
So I guess just a couple quick points. And again, these are things that'll go in show notes. But, you know, I went through the TechQual program, which is truly phenomenal if you're interested in a career in tech sales. There are certainly others that are, you know, geared towards and partnering with technology organizations. So things like Hire Our Heroes or the American Corporate Partners for mentorship, you know, and then a couple of the major vendors do offer some free training for vets. So Cisco and Splunk offer some free training. And there's also a specific academy that Microsoft puts on to really get folks technical if they're interested in that type of thing. So I do think that even if you're not coming from an IT background, the tech industry has recognized again that leadership is leadership and it translates across disciplines, and our ability to, you know, take commander's intent and turn it into something that's executable and repeatable is truly valued in your post-military life and really applicable to this industry. And, you know, there's so many positions that need to be filled, which means huge opportunities. So I do think that, you know, they are targeting veterans. And so to not be scared away if that wasn't your background, but if it's interesting to you and you have that, you know, hunger for learning, that there's a lot of different free resources out there to get you started on the journey.
Awesome. Well, Lauren, I appreciate your time today and sharing your story. I think it's been really helpful, and looking forward to having listeners check out those show notes. A ton of incredibly rich resources there. And I'm just reminded of how, this was not a space that I thought of as when I thought of different career paths to consider. And I'm appreciating your hopping on the show and for Rick connecting us, because you paint a good picture of how big and growing this field is and how well-suited veterans are and how much they may enjoy it based on those mission and team components.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on. I really enjoyed it. And obviously I'm on LinkedIn, and if I can be a, you know, resource to folks as well, you know, they can connect with me on there and et cetera. So, and I'll get you lots of information after this for them as well.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Beyond the Uniform. There are over 200 free episodes at beyondtheuniform.io. They're classified by the industry of focus, the functional role the person plays, and more. Beyond the Uniform is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Justin Asiri. Our director of outreach, responsible for sponsorship and guest episodes, is Steve Bain. Our editor, responsible for the show notes and text transcripts for all episodes, is Kathleen Dillon. Our data analytics and insights advisor is Andrew Woolridge. If you are enjoying Beyond the Uniform, you can help us out by telling your veterans and friends in the military about this free resource. There is more information on the website about how you can sponsor an episode or donate to our program to help us grow the work that we're doing. Be sure to check out the coaching section of beyondtheuniform.io, where you can be paired with professional, subsidized coaches to help you figure out your next career move. You can sign up for our newsletter to be up to date on the latest happenings at Beyond the Uniform. And in each show notes section, there is a link to audible.com, which is providing a free audiobook of your choice to Beyond the Uniform listeners. You get a free book of your choosing, and Beyond the Uniform gets $15 to subsidize the cost of the show, regardless of whether you continue with audible.com or not. Check that out and more in the show notes for this episode. Keep the feedback coming. Let me know what resources would help you in your career, and we'll do our best to make that happen. Take care, be safe, and I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career.